company is delivered by TriStar Moving. 1025, 1063, The Game. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live in the Hillside Medical Game Studios. So Malik Willis played on Thursday, and I feel vindicated in my
okay
Malik Willis stinks right now take that I had
a couple
during
weeks
practice,
ago.
Yeah, before the games. And I mean, everybody freaking got mad about me saying Malik Willis stinks right now. And how many times, even when I said that my take was Malik Willis stinks right now, how many times did I say?
You did say right now.
The key here is right now. Like, if he has to go in a game and play for the Titans, he stinks.
Right now.
Right now. And I think anybody who watched Thursday night would probably feel confident that that's true, that if Malik Willis got in a game, he would stink right now. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. So,
and that was my biggest takeaway from Malik Willis, was there was some good, but there was also some bad, and he is very clearly not ready.
So I have no idea how to evaluate these quarterbacks. Like, I have no idea how to say, hey, this is where a third-round pick rookie should be. This is the path that he's supposed to go on. These are signs it'll get better. I don't know what the difference between stinks right now but will be better later or stinks right now but will always stink. I don't know what the difference is.
Well, I can't tell you that.
So that I don't know. But Mark Domenic, former NFL general manager, he might. And he joined me on Friday on Adam Schein's show on Mad Dog Radio. And I just happened to ask him some questions about Malik, thinking that maybe it could be something we talk about down the road. And so I asked Mark Domenic, former NFL general manager, what he thought of Malik Willis on Thursday night. Again, this is a former NFL general manager, so he would know better than we would as how to evaluate these guys. Here's what Mark Domenic said on Mad Dog Radio.
What did you make of what we saw out of Malik Willis last night?
Yeah, I thought there was actually, to your point, I thought there was some really good things to take a peek at, right? You saw different arm angles to get the ball out of his hand, I think was great. The deep ball, the athleticism, that was all there, and that was good. But at the same point, when you're told to do something by the coach and you don't do it, then there's repercussions. As a third-round draft choice, if I'm a Tennessee Titan fan, I feel good that I've got a guy that has some potential to really grow into something. It was a good start to that career, and I'd be very excited about that, even though I know it was just a small sample.
I think that's pretty positive.
It's pretty positive, but also, I don't disagree.
Why?
Because I think that you did see enough from Malik Willis to be able to feel like...
No, you thought you saw enough from Malik Willis.
I saw enough from Malik Willis to say, hey, he did some good things. 48-yard bomb to Racy McMath. Obviously, we knew that he was good with his legs, and that's what he showed on Thursday night. But also, there's a whole heck of a lot of room to grow. And I think that I can agree being fairly positive because nobody needs Malik Willis to be outstanding right now. Nobody even really needs Malik Willis to be good right now because nobody's ever accused him of being good right now.
No, but they have gotten mad at me about saying that he stinks right now.
Well, I feel like people just tend to get mad at you, a lot of things that you say.
True.
Yeah. But, I mean, I have...
But he does stink right now.
And that's fine.
Sure.
That's fine. He doesn't need to be great right now. And I think that he did enough on Thursday night to say, hey, that wasn't bad. Okay, you're showing flashes. I understand that it's against a second or third team defense. I get that. But there was enough flashes that weren't so egregious on Thursday night for me to say, oh, he'll never be anything in the NFL. Maybe he won't be. I don't know. But I think that you can at least go into it knowing and understanding that he didn't have to be a starter right now.
You think you can go into it thinking that he doesn't have to be a starter?
Do you not? Do you not think that?
I don't know. I mean, no. Like, the Titans aren't going to ask him to start.
No.
But I do wonder. And again, look, Mark Domenic said there's a lot to like. And in the conversation, Mark Domenic brought up the fact that during the draft, when they got to the third round, he said, and I guess he was doing a draft show too, mm-hmm. which would make sense. Being a general manager, they probably stick those guys on there. He said that when they got to the third round, that he was saying these teams need to start taking these quarterbacks because even if they become backups, given the salary, a third-round pick of a backup is not a bad use of a pick.
Right.
And so that was kind of his logic behind it. And again, I think he's probably more measured one way or another than I am about everything, but especially this. And he doesn't have as much skin in the game as I do covering it every day and also being a Titans fan. I mean, I thought Malik's performance on Thursday night was okay. I thought there were a couple of things I liked, a lot of things I didn't like. And when I say that I don't know how to judge the things that I don't like, it's because I don't know how certain things are supposed to get better. I mean, Malik Willis almost threw a pick six to start the game.
Yes.
And so is that something
which is
that,
one of the bad things.
You know, when his timing gets better, then he'll be more in tune. Like, maybe, I don't know. But I don't know how to evaluate that.
But he almost threw a pick six with a wide open Des Fitzpatrick right in front of him. Those are things that are bad.
He was not.
Don't make you feel great about Malik Willis.
But again, for him to say, like, hey, there were things that I saw that I liked about Malik Willis, that does give me some confidence. And then what's funny is Vrabel took him out of the game for not throwing the ball. But Mark Dominic said that he actually was somewhat impressed by some of the decisions. And again, when Vrabel says, I told him to throw the ball, he didn't throw the ball, so I took him out of the game. It's almost like everybody thinks that every time Malik ran was a bad idea, or every time that he threw the ball that he decided to throw it instead of run. And Mark Dominic actually thought that his first throw, that one to Carter, mm-hmm. where he zipped it through his hands and Carter didn't catch it, which probably 70% on the quarterback, 30% on the back for not catching the ball.
Yeah.
Or maybe 70% on the back for not catching the ball because he did throw it to him, and 30% on the quarterback for zinging a fastball in there. I don't know. But Dominic actually thought that was a big deal to him. Here's what Dominic said again on Mad Dog Radio.
And the one thing I did like about what I saw out of Malik is there was a chance or two where he could have ran the ball, and he decided to try to dump. He tried to dump one off to the, I think, the fullback in the flat, and the fullback dropped the ball. But it was one of those ones where, you know what, I like that he actually rather throw the ball and let somebody else take the hit, and he could have just tucked the ball and got, you know, 8 or 9 yards and didn't. And I think that's a good sign for Malik that gets you a little encouraged.
And so, again,
an interesting perspective.
Mark Dominic saying good things about Malik Willis's first performance. I have to take that as a positive. And the problem is with Vrabel, we can't trust anything that he says.
No.
So if it's, you know, what did you think about Malik in the first game? Whatever he says, it almost feels like it doesn't matter. And then when it comes to, you know, everybody has their own opinion about everything they saw, I would trust Mark Dominic's opinion or Bill Polian's opinion. Obviously, we don't have a GM anymore that would sit here and tell us what was what, but that would be something that I would take pretty seriously is what his opinion would be of what we saw out of Malik Thursday. So I watched all the young quarterbacks this weekend. Kenny Pickett is by far the best. Kenny Pickett also went in the first round of the draft.
Right.
The other ones didn't. Desmond Ridder, at times, did not look very good, but he looked probably more ready than Malik did. Also, Ridder, fourth down. Did you see that throw he made on that fourth down to win the game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. Ian, did you see it?
See what? No, I'm sorry.
The Ridder fourth down touchdown pass to win the game?
I did not.
Do you people like football? How did you miss the Desmond Ridder fourth and nine with the game on the line?
How did
chuck
I miss
it,
the Desmond Ridder Falcons pregame, preseason game?
Hey, Mariota played in that game.
Oh, okay.
The touchdown, Desmond Ridder, fourth and nine, sends up a prayer for the game-winning touchdown. And then Matt Corral, he sucks right now. I mean, he sucks right now. He's the last quarterback in Carolina. If there was any question,
like, we knew that was going to be the case. If you're going to call it a quarterback battle, I don't think Matt Corral is involved in that.
Well, I think that's part of the point, too, is that they drafted him, saw him in minicamp, and then still turned around and went out and traded for Baker Mayfield. But they got the ball at the end of the game against Washington. And first of all, I wish I had cut some of those cuts of the Washington game. Kenny Albert is doing the play-by-play.
Yeah.
And there's some guy who clearly used to play for Washington who is doing the game with him and is a total
sunshine.
Homer. It's,
yeah.
I mean, it's like it's the end of a game, and Carolina's driving to kick a field goal to win the game, and they call a bunch of penalties on Washington because, of course. But Matt Corral completed one pass on that drive. It was for like 7 yards. It was nothing serious. He ran a couple of times. The reason that Carolina was able to move down the field and kick a game-winning field goal was they got two runs that they were running in a two-minute drill. And the other was because they got like three Washington penalties that were like face masks and hands to the face and move the ball up every time, like significant ball moving penalties. Mm-hmm. And this homer that was doing the Washington game, this homer, I didn't say it, this homer was like, oh, they're just going to call everything on us.
It was us.
So Carolina.
I'm padded up. I'm wearing a jersey.
Carolina's running the ball to essentially run out the clock, make Washington use their timeouts, then bring out Zane Gonzalez to kick the game winner. Uh-huh. And the guys, like, you know, they hand off, gain a one, right? We've all seen this where it's a, you know, let's run the ball a couple plays, use a timeout, set it up, get it to the middle of the field or wherever we want to kick it from, and let's do that. That's what Carolina's doing. And so they stop them in the backfield. It's like, yeah, not in our house. They're not bringing it in our house, running the ball. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it was bad. And so, anywho, Matt Corral led the Panthers down the field for a game-winning field goal, and he was terrible. He is terrible right now. So,
but again, nobody needs
Matt Corral. They do, because they don't have a quarterback. But how did they go in the draft? Pickett looked the best. Mm-hmm. He went first. Ritter went second. He looked the second best. Again, I mean, I thought Malik was better than Matt Corral, but that's my opinion. But it's good to hear that Mark Domenech, you know, former NFL general manager, said that he was encouraged by Malik. So what do we make of that? 615-737-1025. Add that to the list. 615-737-1025. Everybody wants Malik to be the backup. It feels like. It's amazing how many people want that. I don't think the Titans want it. We'll discuss. 615-737-1025. Hey, 1025-1063, The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of training camp presented by Parman Energy, your one-stop petroleum solution. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. That's right. I've been using FanDuel. Love FanDuel. And the NFL Week 1 odds are out, and now is the time to try FanDuel Sportsbook if you haven't already. Get in on all the action early this season. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook and new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. So they have great futures out there, like Derrick Henry winning the rushing title or Cincinnati plus 2,200 to win the Super Bowl looks pretty juicy to me. Just sign up using the promo code JGM and place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. There's no better place to get ready for the football season than on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook and official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up with the promo code JGM to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JGM. 21 and older in present Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days and restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Mike, you indicated yesterday that the QB2 spot is open. What will you need to see from either Logan or Malik these next few weeks to make your decision?
I think that, you know, ball security is paramount. You know, the ability to function and run our style, but, you know, be able to create plays, be able to find the open guy, operate the line of scrimmage, get into our run game or whatever the operation is at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, this week will be really cool to see against the new defense, to have to see it one day, make corrections, come back the next. You know, different coverages that they may see.
That was Vrabel on Saturday. So I showed up at practice on Saturday. I was working, I was on the air until 2 o'clock, and they practiced at like 1:30. So I got out there at like 2:30, and I went out there because I wanted to ask one question. Now, I am not knocking the Titans PR team when I say what I'm about to say, but it would be very nice if they could do like some of the other teams, where they pass around a handheld mic so that the people listening to the press conferences can hear all of the questions when they're asked.
It is very difficult to hear the questions asked.
Because sometimes I feel like, you know, with the Titans, it's like we're trying to play a cut or something, and even I'm like, got my head on my ears, like with my headphones, like, can I hear what the question's being asked here? And I'm sure that listeners probably feel the same way, and people watch these press conferences. So I'm just throwing that out there. You know, the Patriots, they had their press conferences with, you know, raise your hand, they'll hand you a mic, whatever. Not telling people how to do their job, just saying it'd be nice. Anywho, I could barely hear the question that was asked. I went there because I was going to ask Vrabel if there was a legitimate battle for the backup quarterback spot. And I was going to ask it because I feel like that's something that everybody's talking about after the Friday night game or Thursday night game, even though it's so incredibly stupid, in my opinion, to imagine Malik Willis as the backup of this team. I know that that's what fans were talking about on Thursday. So I was going to ask Vrabel, is it a legitimate competition? And I told Gentry Estes when I got there, I said to Gentry, I go, the only reason I'm here is because I, you know, I need to ask Vrabel if they're going to, you know, have a legitimate backup quarterback battle.
Yeah.
And Gentry was like, it got asked yesterday.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Gentry was like, yeah, he got asked it. And then Vrabel just said, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had to like.
Sure.
So mm-hmm. I didn't hear, like, I was watching it and I had no idea what the question was. And I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. So apparently it's a backup quarterback battle. And then John Burton asked the question about what does he need to see for the backup quarterback battle. And the first thing he started off with was ball security. Let me tell you what that is code for. Malik is not going to be the backup quarterback of the Titans. Now, if Logan keeps turning the football over, Logan might not be the backup quarterback of the Titans either.
And that's the thing there. But I think that Mike Vrabel trusts Logan Woodside enough to know that on Thursday was probably the exception and not the rule with Logan Woodside. But also,
Logan has been sucking it up in practice.
But also, don't test me now.
No, Logan,
don't try me now.
Logan has sucked in practice.
It has not been great. Thursday night was not great for Logan Woodside.
And I don't think, you know, the interception that he threw, I thought Godwin made a horrible play on the ball. And maybe the ball was a little underthrown, but that ball needs to be broken up. That pass does not need to be intercepted.
But I think Mike Vrabel puts that one on Logan Woodside.
I don't know.
He said he ultimately made that decision himself. He said ultimately it's on the decision maker.
Oh, I thought that Vrabel was putting it on Godwin, the way he talked about it.
During the Friday press conference.
Yeah, so the Friday press conference was all about how Godwin could have come back to the ball and made a play on it.
But he said, but ultimately, it's the quarterback that makes that decision.
I know, but I don't think he even brings it up if, like, I don't think Vrabel brings it up if it's 100% on the quarterback. I think Vrabel brought that up because I think he believes Godwin left Logan out to dry. And then just like with the chestnut fumble, where Trevor got mad at the offensive line and Vrabel got mad at the offensive line.
Yeah.
Vrabel says, ultimately, Julius Chestnut needs to not fumble the football. I think this is the same thing, which is ultimately the guy who turns over the football should not be taken off the hook for turning over the football. But so I think Vrabel put that one more on Godwin. Kinsey gave, and I think it was Chris Sanders called me and told me this. Kinsey gave Woodside no chance on that second interception. That one really was not on Woodside. But I'm not here to make excuses for Logan because Logan has not been good in training camp.
No.
The reality is, though, Malik Willis is not going to be the backup of the Titans. And I don't think Mike can say it because I don't think that Malik Willis wants Malik Willis to think that he absolutely positively sees no point in Malik being the backup this year. He was asked an interesting question. I don't know if we have it Saturday, but he was asked about the difference between somebody starting and knowing going into the week that somebody's going to be your starter compared to having somebody as your backup, which I think was a well-worded roundabout way of asking, so if something were to happen to Tannehill in the middle of a game, would you feel more comfortable with Logan backing up Tannehill? Whereas if something were to happen to Tannehill and somebody were to start the next week, would you feel more comfortable with Malik going in there to start? And Vrabel kind of gave a non-committal answer about, but it wasn't like he was ignoring it. Just more so that the game plan's the game plan, and if somebody gets hurt, somebody has to run the game plan. Whereas if they know who's going to be available for the game, they can game plan differently, which is true. But it also doesn't tell us anything about how he would feel about it. I'm just telling you what I feel like I know. Malik's not going to be the backup quarterback of this team. So I don't care. I don't care how Malik plays the rest of training camp. And I wasn't at practice today, but I heard it wasn't very good for him. I don't care how Malik plays the rest of training camp. I don't care how Malik plays the rest of the preseason. There is no chance, in my opinion, that he is the backup quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Now, could they keep three quarterbacks active on game day? Maybe. I don't think they can because I don't know how they would have enough numbers for special teams, especially given how little depth they have in the corner position. But maybe if they want to have some special gadget, two-point plays, whatever for Malik, I don't trust Malik to take the snap right now. I mean, he didn't fumble the ball on Thursday night, which was a good sign, but he has fumbled too many snaps for me to feel comfortable about putting Malik out there in that kind of situation. But I'm just telling you what my common sense is telling me, which is there's a 75% chance Logan keeps the job, and there's a 25% chance that Logan loses the job
and they go out
and
get
they
else.
Go get somebody else to come in here and play instead of Malik. But that there's no chance Malik Willis is the backup. And you're going to ask, because you already have, is that a bad thing? I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but I just think it's not things that fans wanted to hear after apparently everybody was all up in arms after Thursday night that Malik should be the backup of this team. And Vrabel pulled him from Vrabel did two things that I can't believe he did. One, he pulled Malik from the game, which is, I understand, for two reasons. One, the coach wants to send the message of, I told you what to do and you didn't do it, so if you don't do what I say, you come out. And more importantly, I think he felt like he needed to evaluate other players. And if Malik's not going to throw the ball, how can he evaluate the wide receivers or tight ends? And there's a lot of those guys and a lot of reps to be had. And if Malik's not getting first downs, then there's also this sense that three punt, three punt, three punt or whatever, and there's not enough snaps. So that's probably part of the reason why. But for Vrabel to tell everybody that he pulled him from the game, that was pretty revealing.
And then on Friday, turned around and said, well, that was the game plan all along. Yeah, right.
Did he actually say that?
Yes.
I mean,
he said it was the game plan all along that Malik was going to start the first half and Logan was going to start the second. But nothing that he said on Thursday after the game about pulling Malik made me think that that was the game plan all along.
No, I actually remember what you're talking about. I think what Vrabel was referring to was his plan was that Malik was going to play the first half, Logan was going to play the second half.
Yeah, that's but to me, but what I he said about pulling plan, him at the half, that's not the game plan.
Well, no, but I think the plan was for Malik to have one drive in the second half. The, okay, we have a halftime to tell him what we didn't like, so now we need him to go out there and do what we told him to do at halftime. It's different than, hey, we told him on the sidelines, hey, we want you to do this. Mm-hmm. It's easier of, hey, we want to see how he reacts starting the game. Then we want to see how he develops through the course of the half. Then we want to spend a 12-minute halftime correcting him, and then we want to send him back out there and see what he does. And then, I think after that first drive of the second half, Malik was coming out. And I think at halftime, they told Malik, stop running with the football. Like, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Malik turned around, ran the football. I want to say it was an effective run for a first down. And Logan went into the game. And I can see Vrabel's frustration of, we just told you to not do that. And you went out there and you did it. So I'm going to take you out of the game. But when he says that was the game plan, I think what he meant, maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt here. What I think he meant was Malik starting and playing the first half was our game plan. Then we wanted to correct him, see how he took to the corrections, and then we were going to put Logan in for the rest of the second half. So Logan played three more snaps than we thought he was going to play because we took Malik out early. I don't think that Vrabel was lying on Friday or Thursday. But maybe I'm just giving him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, maybe so. I don't know. Maybe so. But
you don't feel very good about that.
I mean, it just, to me, it sounded like on Thursday he was so frustrated and so pissed off at Malik Willis. And I pulled him from the game.
I think he was disappointed that Malik didn't do what he told him to do.
But I think the use of words that Mike Vrabel had was pulling him. That, to me, doesn't sound like, okay, we're going along with our game plan and I need you to continue to work on whatever I told you to work on.
Well, if the game plan is going into the game, and again, some of these things aren't communicated to the players. Regular season game plans usually are.
Yeah.
But these things about, hey, we want you to, you know, we don't want you to, you know, pack it in at halftime, that they're normally not going to tell the guy ahead of time. So the, we want to send Malik out for the start of the second half to see if he picks up on the adjustments, that doesn't seem like something that they would tell him, but that they would then want to see how he reacts.
Right.
But really the only difference is, in the middle of the first drive, Malik got pulled, as opposed to after the first drive, Malik got pulled. And I'm not sure I see much of a tangible difference between there. That, other than the, I'm taking you out of the game because you didn't do what I told you to do. I just can't believe Vrabel told people that. That is good for Vrabel. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your phones on this, plus the Mark Dominic comments as well. 615-737-1025 here on the program. And I just see that we've got some Dirks Bentley tickets to give away. So we'll do that later here in the program. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company, 1025-1063, The Game.
Coach said he wanted you to throw the ball more.
Yeah.
I mean, what did he say to you on the sideline?
He said, we look at the film and see.
Yeah. So what were the issues? We just not wanting to turn it over, just wanting to run with it, or what?
As far as what part?
Why you weren't throwing it when he wanted you to throw it?
I mean, all you do is go out there and play the game. You don't have a play like, I have to pass the ball this play. I have to run the ball this play. I mean, just play the game, bro. I mean, I probably ran a little bit more than I threw it tonight. That's why we got to look at film, but I don't know. Let's see on film.
So why did you not throw the ball when the coach told you to throw it? I got to play the game, bro. Was I supposed to say that to Corey on Friday and then I didn't say it?
Not necessarily.
I think I forgot to say it.
Gotta play the game, bro.
I think I was going to say that to Corey at some point on Friday. Malik not throwing the football. Phones, 615-737-1025. What do we have?
JD texts in and says, do you think that Vrabel is pissed that they drafted Malik? Seems like he may be low on the young quarterback.
So I love doing this in the season, trying to figure out like what Vrabel's mad about, or in OTAs, trying to figure out, you know, like what is Mike Vrabel's ulterior motive. I enjoy going like full on CSI because Vrabel has a very odd personality when it comes to not wanting to tell us anything that may be true, but then at the same time throwing out little hints. Like that clip at halftime. Ian, if we could get that clip from halftime with Corey where Vrabel, and sometimes Vrabel's ulterior motives are pretty obvious.
Uh-huh.
Like, Corey, again, team broadcast. Corey, the one positive thing the Titans did pretty much the whole game, but especially in the first half, was the catch by McMath. And Vrabel, when Corey asks him about McMath, a good thing, I feel like Vrabel chucks Treylon Burks under the bus without actually chucking Treylon Burks under the bus.
Racy McMath had a really strong week of practice. He's able to bring it out here on the game field to make a big play for him.
Yep, that's what we're looking for. And we're still looking for some of these other guys that we hope that can do some things. But, you know, that was one of the boxes that we certainly wanted to check off, was to see Racy, you know, continue to do what he's done in practice.
So it kind of felt
still
like
looking
that
for
was,
other guys.
That was pretty obvious that it was definitely Burks, maybe Phillips, maybe Okonkwo, but definitely Burks that he was throwing in there. He talked about how Burks had great effort on the kickoff coverage, and I took that to mean that we made him go out there and cover kickoffs because we needed him to run up and down the field.
Uh-huh.
So sometimes I feel like I get Vrabel's ulterior motives. I don't think Vrabel doesn't like Malik Willis. Now, I don't know if Vrabel has any faith in Malik Willis. I don't know. And, I mean, Pat O'Hara, the quarterback coach, I'm not sold on. And I'm not sure they are either, because if they were sold on the quarterback coach, they've changed offensive coordinators 3 times since Vrabel's been the coach, and they have never once considered elevating the quarterback coach, which is usually the natural progression. Like, Mike Kafka was the quarterback coach in Kansas City, and he's now the offensive coordinator in New York.
That would seem like a pretty natural progression.
Right. Like, Brian Daboll was the offensive coordinator at Buffalo. He's the head coach. Ken Dorsey, who was the quarterback coach, who played quarterback in the league and played it at Miami, Ken Dorsey is now the offensive coordinator. That is generally how it goes. Instead, here, they elevated the tight end coach, then they elevated the tight end coach again, then they went and added somebody who spends a lot of time working with the tight ends. So I'm not here to dog on Pat O'Hara because I have no idea, but I don't know how much Vrabel trusts the offensive people in terms of quarterback evaluation. I also don't know how much Vrabel knows about quarterback evaluation because he didn't play quarterback and he didn't play offense in the NFL. And so obviously it's his call, he's coach, but I do wonder if the personnel people are telling Mike, hey, this is what we're expecting. This is the repage that we need Malik to get. This is because ultimately general manager does outrank head coach. But just my vibe of it, I don't feel like Vrabel has any problems with Malik.
Yeah, I don't think that he's mad that the Titans drafted him.
No.
I mean, we're a few months removed. Like, give it some time.
Try to think of, like, any – like, I know when Vrabel's mad at a player. I don't know if I've ever been – if I ever have felt like Vrabel was mad at the front office for an individual decision. Now
– Julio?
I don't know.
I think that would, at least from my, you know, experience, that would be the closest thing to it.
I feel like he didn't like Julio very quickly into the process.
What about the AJ trade?
See, everybody acts. Now, I saw what everybody else saw on TV, and I didn't feel like that was Vrabel throwing a tantrum. But that was what the narrative became after it happened. Maybe I'm stupid and I just didn't see it. But I didn't feel like Vrabel was, oh, he knew it was coming. They had negotiated the trade during the day. AJ had already negotiated the contract. He knew it was coming. So how could he all of a sudden react like that and get mad if he knew it was going to happen? I would assume that they would have told him that it was going to happen.
And Vrabel unless they totally that this is a business.
What if they keep him totally in the dark on those things?
There's no way.
I would assume
you can't keep the head coach in the dark about trading arguably one of your most valuable players.
A lot of teams keep the head coach in the dark.
Is that a good way to do football?
If you don't trust the head coach.
I don't think that they don't trust the head coach.
So John Dorsey, when he was general manager of the Browns, he had made up his mind for about 2 months he was going to take Baker Mayfield.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't tell Hugh Jackson. And then it had not gotten out that they were going to take Baker Mayfield. And then finally, like a day before the draft or 2 days before the draft, he told Hugh Jackson, hey, we're going to take Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
And within like 25 minutes, Josina Anderson had reported that the Browns were going to take Baker Mayfield.
Well, that maybe that's why you keep head coaches in the dark.
So I was told
that. I don't think Vrabel is the kind of loose lips kind of coach that would let things leak.
I know, but again, we don't really know that dynamic.
We don't. No, that's true.
And so maybe he
I know what I know.
But I feel like he knew. But I've been told that the kind of key with secretive information is tell as few people as possible, even if that includes a head coach. And I was also told that if there's something secretive that a general manager really, really, really wants to keep under wraps, that the general manager then will try to go out of their way to avoid the owner because the owner wants to be apprised of those things.
Right.
And I don't think a general manager is in position to not tell the owner the truth. And so by avoiding the owner, the general manager can then just not talk to the owner about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if the owner wants to be apprised of a situation, or if the owner's like, hey, I was wondering, what do we think about Malik? Or, hey, what do we think about draft? Who do we think we're going to draft? Or, hey, what do we think about this? Then the general manager has to tell the owner, and the general manager can't lie to the owner. Like, I could lie to whomever and then say after the fact, hey, I lied about this because.
Mm-hmm.
But a general manager can't lie to the owner.
No.
So that's just one thing that I know, that sometimes general managers try to keep things so close that I don't know how much they let Vrabel know. I feel like they treat him as an equal partner, but I'm also not completely convinced of that either. What else we got?
Another texter texts into the text line and says, "Do you would the Titans be able to sign a veteran backup at quarterback?"
Yes. So a lot of these teams, like Matt Barkley, for instance, who was in here battling with Logan Woodside last year, he's the third quarterback behind Case Keenum and Josh Allen in Buffalo. Buffalo's not carrying three quarterbacks.
No.
So a lot of these teams that have a third quarterback will release that third quarterback, and then the Titans will be able to pick that guy up. One thing that may happen when I tell people that there's absolutely, in my opinion, there is absolutely no chance, zero chance that Malik Willis is the backup this year. What could theoretically happen on roster cutdown day is that the Titans release Logan Woodside, and then they announce that they have two quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis, and then on Tuesday
they bring someone in.
They bring somebody in. I don't think they would risk this, though it would be kind of juicy if they did. They could go into the Giants game with Malik Willis as the backup, because if a veteran player, I think that the term is officially a vested veteran.
Mm-hmm.
If a veteran player is on the roster week one, their salary becomes guaranteed for the full season. So right now, Jimmy Garoppolo does not have a guaranteed salary in San Francisco. If he's on the team week one, that $24 million is completely guaranteed. So in theory, the Titans could release Woodside, go into the Giants game with Willis as the backup, expect nothing will happen to Tannehill, and then the next week sign somebody and not have that contract guaranteed. That's a risk that is too rich for my blood, but I could see it. So,
well, and at what point is it too late to bring in a veteran quarterback to
never
get him acclimated to the system?
Never.
Really? I mean, you could bring someone in, let's say, hypothetically, knock on all the wood, they do what you just said. That they release Logan Woodside, Malik Willis is the backup, knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill breaks his collarbone in the third quarter against the Giants.
And now Malik has to go in?
Malik goes in and they bring someone in on Monday.
Yeah, then that guy would start on Sunday against
that
the
guy
Bills.
Would start on Sunday.
The following Monday against the Bills, that yes. guy would start.
But is that not too late? Can you get up to speed with a system? Or would you just go after somebody that knows your system if you can just hope and pray that guy's out there?
That's probably what the Titans would do.
Yeah.
is they would go after somebody like Matt Barkley, who already knows the plays or knows the system. Then they would implement a game plan like they would any week. Barkley's been around the league long enough, played enough games that he knows how to assimilate a game plan. They would probably keep things kind of limited, and then they would run the football. But that is what would happen. I believe that right now, these Tampa Bay practices, this is Logan versus Logan. Like, Logan is competing for the job versus the anybody else who might get cut. He's competing for the job there. As opposed to, I don't think he's competing with Malik. 615-737-1025. Speaking of Logan, Titans fans are not going to want to hear. I asked Mike Vrabel about Logan's training camp so far. I can just tell you, the Titan fans who watched the game Thursday and got mad, they're not going to want to hear what he had to say. And that's a pretty strong tale. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
How do you feel about Logan's camp so far overall?
Well, I mean, I think overall, good. You know, I mean, I feel good about, you know, where he's at. I just think that, you know, he has to, and they all do, continue to take care of the football. Make the plays that you're supposed to make. We talk about that throughout every position, as opposed to trying to make something that's not there. Whether that's a defensive player coming under a block or trying to go make a play. You know, just try to make good plays.
Titans fans aren't going to want to hear that. They're not going to want to hear that. Not after what I saw in the text line when I was doing the show on Friday.
Ooh,
they're not going to want to hear the Logan. Mike Vrabel says Logan Woodside is having a good training camp.
No,
then follows it up by saying that he just has to take care of the ball and saying that all of the quarterbacks have to take care of the ball. So let me translate this for everybody out there. For everybody who watched the game the other day, last week, and says that Logan stinks, and everybody that thinks that the Titans need a backup quarterback or for all that stuff, let me tell you, in all seriousness, it's Logan's job to lose. And the one thing Logan can't do is he can't go out there against the Buccaneers and throw a bunch of interceptions. If he doesn't do that, and the Cardinals, but if he doesn't do that, Vrabel is not looking for him to complete passes. Vrabel is not worried about the backup quarterback going into the game. As long as he can throw it short and complete it short, that's all he cares about. As long as they can get everybody lined up, get the ball to the running back, that's all they care about. At that point, the Titans will essentially go into the four corners offensive basketball. That's all Vrabel wants. Now, if Logan becomes it becomes so obvious that he can't take care of the football at all, then they're going to have to get rid of him and get somebody else in here who's not going to be a turnover waiting to happen. But Titans fans aren't going to hear that because they have all made up their mind that Logan is no good and they're not changing it. But that's where they are.
I mean, we had somebody text in the midday show on Friday say that Logan Woodside was a disgrace to the Titans franchise.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
I'm not going to go that far. And I understand that it's really easy to only look at the small sample size that we saw on Thursday. And if you're just going to compare the two side by side, I mean, Malik Willis was the better quarterback.
Was he?
He didn't throw two interceptions.
Yeah, but see, that's where...
And if you're going to talk about taking care of the football, if you're going to talk about limiting turnovers...
What happened on the second play of the game?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been a pick six.
Malik threw the ball right into the hands of a Baltimore Ravens defender that could have been an interception. And that's where it's like, it's easy to say. It's easy to look at the stat sheet. And that's why, like with all these other games that I was talking about over the weekend, I watched them all.
Mm.
Because it's very easy to sit there and look at a stat sheet. The stat sheet says that Sam Darnold played better than Baker Mayfield, but he didn't. And it's easy to say, like, oh, Logan turned the ball over twice. Malik didn't turn the ball over. So by that, to your point, you think Malik played better than Logan. I don't think so. I mean, where I was sitting, if I had to put one of those guys in an NFL game, it wouldn't be Malik. And I'm saying that because Logan Woodside came in and immediately completed passes. They were simple throws over the middle.
Malik Willis should be a backup over Logan Woodside, I would put Malik in over Logan Woodside.
But your point is one I'm arguing, which is I think Malik had a horrible game on Thursday. I thought Malik made one really good throw during the 2-minute drill where he hit Mason Kinsey outside the numbers and then took a sack on the next play. That's horrible. I mean, the throw, the one to Kinsey.
The throw was good.
That's a good throw. And Logan Woodside cannot make that throw. And that's the difference in talent between the two. But as far as just my opinion, objectively saying who had a better game, I don't think it's close. I think Malik Willis had a much worse game than Logan Woodside. I mean, he missed guys wide open down the field. He completed one deep pass, but on the pass that he completed that was a deep pass, the Ravens defender, and I still can't get over this, there were two guys that were in the vicinity of McMath. Uh-huh. The guy underneath McMath ran to the guy who was short. Like, there was a receiver short of McMath, and then there was McMath, and the Ravens defender ran to the other guy. I couldn't believe it. That's just a pitch and catch. And I know Malik's got an arm. Mm. But as far as, like, decision-making, and I thought Logan was better. And I know he threw the two interceptions, but on one, Kinsey, horrible play. Horrible play by Kinsey to not at least, you know, go to the ball. Yeah. But even break up the pass, that was terrible. And then the one where he underthrew Godwin, I thought that that was like 60% on the quarterback, 40% on the receiver. Trevor was mad at Godwin for that one. I believe it was Logan that threw the ball in the end zone for Burks, where Burks did not give a great effort to go up and get it. But I don't even think it's close. I thought Logan played better. And that's the thing about the Titans in the quarterback position is I think the fans want Malik to win this job. They want the idea that Malik Willis might be the backup quarterback.
Do they want him to win this job?
I think they do.
I mean, everything I've heard from Vrabel.
I think they've made up their mind. No, I'm talking about the fans.
Oh, the fans.
Malik has made, I mean.
The fans do want him to earn this job. There's
no chance that happens. Now, I will say this. Like, Chad Withrow on Friday was just, I think, how many quarterbacks he said that he could name that were better backups than Logan?
It felt like he was saying half the league.
I think he said 75, that he could name 75 quarterbacks who could be better than Logan Woodside to back up the Titans, which is kind of a hot take. But
75 is a lot, but also to that point.
I don't think I realized he said 75, but.
But I would not feel good about Logan Woodside going into a game. I don't think anyone would feel good about Logan Woodside going into a game.
How many backup quarterbacks in the NFL with those teams would you feel better about that team's backup? Not better.
I don't know.
How many would you feel? Okay, yeah, let's just say better. How many would you feel better about that team? I'm trying to think if we should say how many would you say you feel better about their quarterback situation or how many would you feel better? Let's just say how many backups around the league would you feel better than Logan Woodside? And I would say probably there's 16 teams, probably 20.
16 teams?
I mean, 16's half the league. If 32 teams, probably 20.
I think that's probably fair. 75 is a little bit much.
Like Josh Johnson.
Like, I don't know all the backup quarterbacks and how well they play. I don't follow any of them as closely as I follow Logan Woodside.
So, for instance, like Washington has Taylor Heinicke as their backup.
He's been a starter in the NFL.
Loosely. He's never, like, started a season. No team has ever said.
But he has started games in the NFL.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that he's better than him.
It means that he has experience.
Yeah, but having experience doesn't make somebody better.
But it would make you feel better, probably. Would you take a backup quarterback with experience or a backup quarterback with less experience?
Well, I mean, again, for instance, like the Steelers are going to have Kenny Pickett as their backup quarterback this year. And I'd
probably
rather
feel pretty good about it, even though, yeah.
So here's my thing. If Taylor Heinicke is the quarterback of the Titans, do I feel like the Titans can win a game with Taylor Heinicke as quarterback? No. Do I think the Bengals can win a game with Brandon Allen as their quarterback?
No.
No. Do I think the Cowboys can win consistently with Cooper Rush as their quarterback? No.
We talking consistently or a game?
I mean, I think Logan can win a game.
He could
any backup in the league can win a game.
I don't know if Malik can win a game right now.
Well, he's not the backup quarterback.
I know, but I'm talking about anybody who's not the starter is technically a backup. I don't think that Malik can win a game.
I think I'd have Woodside over a couple of these backups, I think. I'd rather have Woodside.
Woodside or Mason Rudolph? Though apparently Mason Rudolph is looking pretty good.
Probably Rudolph.
Probably Rudolph.
You know who, and this goes back to the experience thing. You know what backup quarterback absolutely freaking sucked this week?
Who?
The only backup quarterback that has a Super Bowl MVP.
Foles.
Sucked. Yeah. Ryan was bad, but Foles was horrible. So I guess it's a long-winded way of saying that most of the guys who are backup quarterbacks in the NFL, unless it's a team that doesn't feel good about their quarterback situation, and so they've gone out and gotten a second guy that they like, most of them are all the same, which is the Broncos aren't winning with Josh Johnson if something happens to Russell Wilson. The Chargers, who's the Chargers backup? I don't even
Chase
know.
Chase Daniel.
Oh.
Chase Daniel's
career backup.
Chase Daniel makes a lot of money.
Yeah, he.
For somebody who literally never plays.
Like Chicago, you know, they have Trevor Siemian as their backup. Pretty, not great, but good as a backup for Chicago when they need
backup
for Fields.
Okay. So who would you feel more comfortable with, Trevor Siemian or Logan Woodside?
Probably Trevor Siemian.
Okay, well, you know, the Titans had that choice 2 years ago, and they made Logan Woodside the choice.
I know that.
So that's the thing that, like, we can sit here and say, oh, well, obviously that guy's better.
But is that because...
they competed and he lost.
Is that because Logan is a better quarterback, or the Titans just trust Logan?
The
He's
Titans,
been here long enough.
The Titans signed Trevor Siemian, and he was in here in training camp, and then they released Trevor Siemian, and they kept Logan Woodside. So whatever their reasoning was being for doing that, and Logan had not even been the backup for that team at all. Like, he had not been the backup. He had been the third-string quarterback in 18 on the practice squad, 19 on the practice squad. And so this was their first year with Tannehill and Trent as the starter. And Logan, they brought in competition, and it was Siemian, and they lost. And Siemian lost, and then he went. Did he go to the Jets after that? Or was that after he was with the Jets? I think he went to the Saints. I think he went from here to the Saints, then was with the Saints last year, and then now is with apparently the Bears. But all these guys are all the same. They're all the same. And so who was the backup yesterday for Minnesota? Sean Mannion?
Correct.
I mean, career backup. John Wolfert in L.A., backup.
Career backup.
They're all backups. That's all they are. Backups. And then every now and then a team like Miami has Teddy Bridgewater, who's like a backup plus. But everybody else, backup. And I'm not sure it makes much of a difference if the team has Jacoby Brissett as the backup quarterback, who I want to say is something like 11 and 19 as a starter, or Logan Woodside. I mean, last year Brissett started 5 games, 2-3. If the Titans had to go to Woodside, they probably would go somewhere around 2-3. So, I don't know. And I think maybe Vrabel doesn't worry about that as much because he knows that what he would ask a backup quarterback to do and what he would ask Tannehill to do are two totally different things. 615-737-1025. Now, I wouldn't take a football breather during training camp of the preseason unless I thought that something was about to go down. There is a line being drawn in the sand in Kentucky basketball, and it went from funny to serious real quickly. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game.